Okay, good afternoon. I want to talk about mosaics because we are modeling a Byzantine church. I think some of you might remind this picture. We showed it in 2008 on the Radiance Conference, where we were finished with the overall modeling and ended our speech with the question, how do you go from there? Because as you can see here, as detailed as our model is, one thing we spared out is the mosaics that are on the walls. And this is also the starting point for this speech. And just to go, there we are. We are in Byzance in the 6th century in a city now called Istanbul at the Bosporus in Turkey. Between the Bosporus, the Golden Horn, there's a half island. On top of it, we have this church, which was over history converted into a mosque, and now it's a museum called Hagia Sophia. And this is built in the 6th century under Emperor Justinian. At the time, the Roman Empire was on top again for a few decades. It was the time where we have the largest part of Europe covered from the Roman Empire. And this church was also built for the purpose to show the power of the emperor, and all the precious materials are collected from all over Europe. So this is also to show the power. And in the propaganda and the history descriptions, we have much fuss about it. They talk about it, and they talk about the light and the precious material in the church. So this is an important matter for us as architects, and it has a big impact on the later history of architecture, as you can see from the fact when you go to a later Orthodox church, you will have an architecture model after that, and if you go to a mosque, or imagine what you think about it when you hear the expression of a mosque, you see this Christian church at the late Roman Empire. And these are two actual shots from the building's main room. You see there are walls, there are special kind of fenestration, you see the light bouncing in this building, which gives a beautiful effect. And if you look at the above, you see a big cupola, you see a complex vault system, and all is covered with these mosaics, which we spat out. And this is our reconstruction with the old interior architectural design. We have an ambo in there, and we have buildings in the altar area, and synchronon, where the people can sit on, and things like that. And as you see, as detailed as our models is, the mosaics are spared out, and that's because the only thing we can to what we got at this time was this simple material, which we get from literature. And and what will now follow is an idea how we can deal with this material. And you can see it's mostly two parts in which you can divide the problem. The first is you have big surfaces which are covered with a more continuous gold mosaic, and you have parts of the architecture that are accentuated with more detailed ornaments which are loosely connected to the architecture itself. If you see these bands, once they have these cones shown, but in other places they are nearly flat at the top of the cupola. You see these red and white stripes. And so this is a special kind of dealing with it. You must imagine you have a model where you put in these stones and you put it on the plaster, and every form the plaster has, the mosaic has, but this is not really a constructed design. And there you can see it a little bit more detail, how it works. You see little rectangular stones, and they are ordered often like the pixels on the screen, orthogonal, but there are things around this ring and line that are also ordered in a very different kind of shape, which may be complicated to design. In the smallest way to talk about it is the individual stones. You see we have they are of different materials. They are all based on glass-like material. The middle one is covered on the top with gold, with gold foil, and underneath is glass. And the other ones are more or less translucent glasses. And if you look how they are applied, you can see at the lower left side, they are put in the plaster in different angles. Some of them are intentional, but also there's much inaccuracy in that. And as we know from different mirroring or specular materials, the direction of the surface is very important for the way the material looks, and the light is refracted. So my first idea was for the big surfaces, I want to have an algorithm which can deal with these facts. As you can see here, we have a direct reflection, and we have a kind of modeling from the bumpiness of the plaster, and we have a random perturbation of the face normal, so we have different kinds of reflection on the surface. And so it's done. I've written a CAL file which takes all the values for the intentional or inaccuracy tilt. And I mostly use the floor functions to get these surfaces divided in the rectangular tiles, and the noise function for the for a random source for the tilts. If it's all rectangular and flat, this is easy. But it gets a little bit more complicated if you want to put it on the vault or on the dome. And so I developed this algorithm so that I can fit on such surfaces. And this is nearly the same, but it's a little bit more complicated because you have for every angle you have to calculate how many pieces are on the radius and so on, and which makes it difficult is because you have to do it backwards. The ray hits the surface and then you have to calculate which tile is there, and how many tiles are on this radius, and if you are able to put it on a sphere, you can also do it with a cone and a cylinder. And then you have for this kind of material the kind of surfaces that we find in the actual building. This is a little bit different. It tries to do it with not just one material, but with a picture-based material. If we have different light or dark pieces of them, or more complex single tiles. It works in a way the same, but what we now do is we have these, we have in this case I think 7 samples in a row in one picture, and the algorithm is made so that for there's a random usage of one of the tiles, there is an and nearly it works like the picture tile file, but it uses every one of the 7 steps and mix it up. The next step is to use MixPict to mix materials, because we think the plaster we see through the in the spaces between the tiles is a very different material than the actual surface of the tile itself. And so we have this kind of mask, but we also get from the photo, and we use the same algorithms to get there, and we mix them together in the material file. So that's, we think, a good basis for the bigger surfaces, but it's not useful for the more detailed ornaments. And one idea to deal with them was to work just with pictures. And from an actual picture, we derive a mask, which can be used to sort the materials, or some mask to sort the materials. And on the right side, you see the tiles itself. And we get a luminance value from them, which we want to use to deal with text data, so we can perturb the surface of the individual stone base on the image. For that, we have in the material like a tree to sort the materials. Where every material gives a mask, and because we can just have two materials with MixPict, we get these three. And I read the script, which, as you can see on the lower left side, uses p-value to generate a data file, which we use for the perturbation. Based on the luminance value of the picture. And we have a text color file which uses these data, and we have a factor here, so we have a scaling wheel to see how much we perturb the surfaces. This is where we get from there. As you can see, the effect works, but you see on the other side that we have many artifacts. From the picture, some errors, there are stones are taken for black values, or some kinds of corner effects and things like that. And it shows that you can get around them, but it's a very there's very much work. You have to work very hard on the pictures to get a really good source to deal with that. And as we see, it's just as complicated as to model the actual geometry. And so we came there. The idea is to build a geometry, to have different layers for the different materials. Here we have a flat example, and if you have the geometry, you can generate with a little bit of the help of Photoshop a map for the spaces between the tiles. And for the perturbation, we use a script which generates, in this case, 25 different materials for the gold material, which are only different in the way which a pertinence value is set. And another shell script which we run over the geometry, which replaces the gold material by random with one of these 25 different gold materials. And we also have a cal file in which we have the possibility to tweak this a little bit, and we use MixPick to apply these map, or this, to divide with the materials of the gold in the spaces between. And this is where we get from there. And as you can see, the effects resemble the mosaics. On the metal, you have more of these effects. On the more glass-like stone, it's less. But as you see in the left corner, we have a highlight. And we think this would be applied not just to such a flat surface, but you can also do it with a curved surface. And then you can have parts of these ornaments, and you can add them up to really build the whole building without generating too much geometry and foundation. What we still have to do is to figure out how detailed we can get, how much information we get into the model before it gets uncalculatable. And that's it. Any questions?
When are you going to apply it to the dome?
That's the next step. I hope to get it soon. The original plan was to show a part of the dome here at the conference, but then I realized we have some other geometrical problems in this dome, which have nothing to do with the mosaics, but with our general construction of the dome, and I don't want it to apply to a wrong dome.
So, two questions regarding your final mosaic that you showed made of geometry. First, are there still textures associated with those individual tiles? It looks that way, or are those tiles reading into a larger texture?
No, there's no texture about it. It's just the perturbation of the tile with the material file.
Okay. And the other is, how do you take a matrix of tiles like that and map it onto a curved surface? What's your plan for doing that transformation?
The idea is that you really build a part of geometry that you can, which is curved in itself. So you just don't apply it on another surface. It's the surface itself. You really have to build it. But you can, I think it's a small part which you can add up to get real big geometries, which would, because they stay mostly the same. I think there are some tricky things where edges come together and things there which will very much work. But for me, it seems a little bit like that this is an. You can't get rid of the geometrical information that is in the building. And as I try to do it with mappings and things like that, it gets the same complicated as you do it with geometry. So
it seems, I mean, there have been people in computer graphics, Greg Turk comes to mind, who've tackled this problem of how do you map a texture onto an irregular shape. And one method that he used was to use a Poisson solver to sort of like optimize the spacing between points. It's expensive, but the computer can do it. So there's an advantage there. Just a thought.
One of my problems was that for the mosaics, they are a little very small, and you have to be sure that they stay flat. If you do anything like near field geometry dealing with it, I often get triangles, and they are not matching with the tiles itself. And I think this is this could be a big problem if you get the geometry in any other way than actually build.
Greg, what's the potential of this huge dome and taking a distant view and ending up with a whole lot of moiré patterns because of sampling that type of texture from a distance?
Well, jittered sampling should eliminate any moiré patterns. See, it would just turn it to noise.
But I've made an experience maybe because I've occupied myself also in establishing these sort of materials, and you really can run quickly into the moiré problem.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Thank you.